Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Now, here are two concepts that perhaps on the surface might appear to be roughly parallel with one another. Resurrection, a kind of Christian concept of coming back from the dead, we'll just put it that generally to begin with, and reincarnation, which is coming back from the dead. What's the difference between the two? Is there a difference between the two? Does one serve as well as the other? Or are the worldviews behind these two concepts, resurrection, reincarnation, the same? We're going to answer some of those questions this Monday afternoon, April the 27th. Ken Samples is our guest for the last half hour of the program. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's author of the book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd.
Someone sees you, a Christian, on the street. They say, look, I know it's the Easter season, you guys celebrating your new life, resurrection, all that stuff. And I've got my version of that. It's called reincarnation. How do you respond?
I think that it is critically important to be able to differentiate the two. I mean, resurrection is not a resuscitation, you know, where you come close to dying, but they're able to spark your heart and you come back to life. It's also not a near-death experience. And then thirdly, it's not reincarnation. I mean, reincarnation, the word literally means to be put back into the flesh again. So we believe in an incarnation, Christ comes in the flesh. Reincarnation, particularly in Hinduism, but in the New Age movement and many other Eastern religions, is the belief that you're born into the world, you build up karmic debt because of past actions and attachment to the world, and you die and your soul has to be placed back in the flesh again. Resurrection is very different in the sense that it is a transformation, meaning that we go from a mortal state to an immortal state. We go from a state of corruption to incorruptible. And so Jesus' resurrection, which is the paradigm for our resurrection body, is very different. It is a one-of-a-kind, a single transformation, never to go back to that state of humiliation and weakness again.
What is the role of death in the worldviews that lie behind, respectively, these two concepts, Christian resurrection versus reincarnation?
That is a great point of differentiation, because even though Buddhism and Hinduism have slightly different ideas about reincarnation, I mean, in Hinduism, the soul passes out of one body into another. In Buddhism, it's kind of your residual elements pass from one body to the next. There technically is no soul in Buddhism. But I think your point is right on target, and that is that in Hinduism and Buddhism, the goal essentially is to cease to live. Living is suffering. Living is building up karmic debt. The ultimate in Hinduism is moksha. In Buddhism, it is nirvana, meaning that you are becoming one with ultimate reality, or you're having this mystical relationship in Buddhism, which is extinction. Whereas the goal in Christianity is to live forever in right relationship with God because of the redemption in Christ. And those are two very different perspectives based upon two very different worldviews.
I'm wondering about reincarnation. You mentioned kind of the karmic circle, or the cycle of karmic debt. In the West, it is viewed as generally a positive thing, by doing good, good comes back around to you, and maybe if you believe in reincarnation along with karma, you will improve your lot in the next life thereby. Is that more or less the picture held by those who originally believe and hold to the worldview that includes reincarnation?
It's not. In fact, Todd, many of the original gurus and teachers, the masters of the East, they look at Western forms of Hinduism, like the New Age movement, as really being a sham or a fraud. I mean, you meet somebody in the New Age movement, and they're thinking, well, hey, if I come back, you know, maybe I'll come back as the point guard for the Lakers, or maybe I'll become a movie star, or, you know, maybe I'll be rich and famous. Although I've never met a New Ager who's had so-called past lives, you know, where they were, you know, down and out. They're always somebody really important. But my point here is simply this, that Hindus and Buddhists, they see reincarnation as a very negative thing. You're born back into a world of suffering. You're born back into a world of darkness and unenlightenment. You are caught in the cycle of karma samsara, this cycle of rebirth, and you are being delayed from moksha or nirvana. So they tend to see reincarnation as a very troubling element rather than as this optimistic thing where I can, you know, keep getting better and better.
And is karma, in their view, more akin to judgment than reward?
Yes, I think that is right. I mean, karma means to do or to act, and so your state in this life is sealed by actions in a previous life. Now, often Hindus are very elusive about how this principle came to be and whether karma and free agency are necessarily compatible with each other. But this is really kind of a natural law, if you will. I mean, Hinduism thinks that karma is kind of a built-in feature to the cosmos. Rather than having a judge who would, you know, sit behind a desk and make judgments, it's more of a natural law principle, I think, would be a closer analogy.
I asked you before what the role of death was in the respective worldviews of resurrection and reincarnation. I guess it makes sense to ask, what is the role of life? What is life essentially in the resurrection worldview as opposed to the reincarnation worldview?
Yeah, this really illustrates a fundamental difference because life in this body, life in this illusory world from an Eastern perspective is, you know, I'm here and I'm one with God, but I'm suffering from cosmic amnesia. I am suffering from being unenlightened, and therefore life is very confusing. It is very troubling. It is delaying my entrance either to union with Brahman or to this enlightened state. And so life is something to be gotten over with. Whereas I think within Christianity, there is one life. And while I anticipate resurrection and to live eternally in God's city and to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, this time in my temporal existence, I will not return to. And therefore, I have a job to do here in the city of man as well. So very different perspectives, and you've targeted it correctly. It comes down to differences in worldview.
I think a lot of Christians, although they would, in a cursory way, hold to an orthodox view of resurrection, if you tease out the details, you find out they probably have more in common with, if not an Eastern worldview, perhaps something a bit more of an ancient Gnostic worldview. They generally will tell you that the body's kind of a container, maybe even a prison house for the soul, and that the real goal is to get out of it. True spirituality is found outside the body. These are Christians who would hold this view. Is that in line with the resurrection worldview as presented to us in Scripture?
I think you've hit it on the head, Todd. I think that there are many Christians who believe exactly as you've suggested. They think that rather than being a union of body and soul, and rather than recognizing that God likes bodies and that He will unite our soul with our body in the resurrection, I think lots of people tend to see the body as incidental to humanness, can't wait to get out of the world, have very little appreciation for our vocation or our calling, our temporal responsibility in the city of man, as Augustine would have called it, or in this kingdom, as Luther would have referred to it. And I think that those ideas are very unbiblical. They're much more Platonic-like and therefore more Gnostic-like. I mean, even in the intermediate state where we will be temporarily disembodied awaiting the resurrection, God likes bodies. God likes marriage. God likes sexuality. And I think sometimes some Christians drift into kind of a quasi-Gnosticism, which is not a good thing.
We're talking with Ken Samples, Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, and we're talking to him comparing and contrasting resurrection versus reincarnation. Now, if you have a question or a comment about these two concepts, the differences between them, 1-877-623-6943. It's Monday afternoon, the 27th of April. Happy to take your questions or comments during this break. 10 more minutes with Ken Samples on the other side of the break, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email your questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. This brings us to kind of ultimate ends, doesn't it? Because both of these things, resurrection or reincarnation, would purport to deliver us into a final state. At some point, even at the end of a long series of reincarnations, there's going to be some final state. And at the resurrection, there'll be some kind of final, eternal state. Let's compare and contrast those final states. Resurrection versus reincarnation after this.
But all are agreed as they join the stampede. You should never take more than you give in the circle of life.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Village Lutheran Church in Ladue thanks God for His saving gift of faith through Christ and invites you to share in this gift by worshiping with us Sunday mornings at 8:15 or 10:45. We're conveniently located 1 mile west of the Galleria on Clayton Road. For more information, call 314-993-1834 or visit villagelutheranchurch.org. Village Lutheran Church, ordinary people loved by an extraordinary God. villagelutheranchurch.org.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Noted author and Christian apologist Craig Hawkins on why you should support Issues Etc.
It's my pleasure to recommend to you Issues Etc. It's one of the few programs discussing crucial concerns for Christians. It's done in a dynamic format, again discussing crucial issues, and in an insightful manner. The program is very much needed. In my opinion, it's one of the most important broadcasts on the air, and it's one of my favorites. So if you want to grow in your faith, know what you believe and why, then this program is for you. I want to encourage you to listen, and I want to encourage you to support the broadcast, both prayerfully and financially.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or you can make a credit card donation at our website, issuesetc.org, Defending the Faith, Teaching the Truth, Issues Etc.
Some karma's gonna get you. Gonna look you right in the face.
Better get yourself together, darling.
Join the human race.
We're talking about resurrection versus reincarnation. Ken Samples is our guest. You can find out more about Ken's book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand and you'll find that book, A World of Difference by Ken Samples. Ken, this brings us to final states. Both of these concepts, resurrection and reincarnation, purport to what would translate the individual at some point ultimately to a final state. For reincarnation, what is the final disposition or state, if we even can use the term, of the individual? I gather it doesn't have much to do with individuality at all.
Yeah, I think that the classical position, which is what I call in my book pantheistic monism, again, Buddhism and Hinduism would have some slight disagreement, but within that pantheistic monistic worldview, if you're able to break that cycle of reincarnation, and you may do it through meditation, you may do it trying to be obedient to the rules of your caste, you might do it through worshiping the various deities. If you are successful in cracking the cycle of reincarnation, then your being, your soul, your Atman, as they call it, would become one with Brahman. And I think the best analogy is that just as a single drop of water, when it touches the ocean, loses all of its own identity, loses its own personhood, you can't differentiate that drop from the ocean at that point. There is that loss of consciousness, and that is the ultimate. You are one with Brahman. The cycle of rebirths has been broken. Now, within Buddhism, they're much less uncertain about the kind of ultimate state. In Buddhism, nirvana may be extinction, or it may be some kind of mystical consciousness, but you've lost your personal identity. That's the underlying point.
Compare and contrast that with the final state presented in the worldview that encompasses Christian resurrection.
Yeah, very good. I mean, within Christianity, you enter into the presence of the Lord. You have been forgiven. You have been redeemed. Christ has paid in full your debt for sin. And the Greek word tetelestai, it's been paid in full, it's finished. Therefore, you are able to enjoy the presence of God for all eternity, even though your temporal existence has come to an end. You enter into the eternal state. You enjoy the presence of God. You retain your personhood, and you move from the present state, which is physical, the resurrected state or the final state is also physical, but you move from the perishable to the imperishable, mortal to immortal, what we would call dishonor to glory, weakness to strength, from an earthly body to a heavenly body. And I think most Christians would affirm that not only involves a physical body, but it is obviously a physical body that is transformed. So we have a relationship with God, and that relationship is one of love and glory and very different from what we see in the East.
In this body?
In this body. Jesus' body that was put on the cross was the same body that was raised. It's the same body. It's physical to physical, material to material, but it has undergone an obvious and radical change. Jesus could materialize in a locked room without walking through the door. So that body now has, and our bodies will have, properties like that.
Okay, so it sounds as though while a casual acquaintance with reincarnation and resurrection might suggest some sort of a parallel here, we're really talking about two radically different views of life, of death, of the nature of man in the universe, and of man's ultimate state.
That's exactly right. I think sometimes when people talk about red states, blue states, Republicans, Democrats, and they say, well, why is it that non-religious people think differently than religious people? I think you really have to step back and say, wait a second, we actually now have worldview differences, And when you really have a worldview difference, it fundamentally changes the way you look at the nature of reality. And so reincarnation and resurrection are fundamentally different ideas. And it's not just what happens to you when, after death, and those kind of things. It's a different vision of God. It's a different vision of the cosmos, of human mortality, of sin, and all of those kinds of things. And so Christianity, in its deeply biblical tradition, is 180 degrees different than what we see in the Eastern mystical tradition.
Two final questions. If I'm a Buddhist, I will believe that the Buddha, even the historical figure of the Buddha, as shadowy as he may be, is really nothing more than a guide or an example for how I must do this myself. Compare that view with the role that Jesus Christ plays in the resurrection worldview. Buddha is an example. What is Christ?
Yeah, Buddha certainly, I mean, Siddhartha Gautama, who became the Buddha, who lived approximately 500 B.C., and he is a shadowy figure. He was not God, even though there are some Buddhist traditions that worship the Buddha. The historical figure was a man. He was not an immortal person. Christ, on the other hand, I've just finished an article entitled The Buddha and the Christ, where I look at some of these issues. I mean, Jesus doesn't compare with any of the other great religious leaders. He is viewed as being God in human flesh, the second person of the Trinity who took to himself a perfect human nature and became man. When we read the Bible and hear the words of Jesus, we are hearing the word of God in human flesh. His death on the cross is God's payment for human sin to reconcile lost sinners to himself. And so Buddha is really peripheral in Buddhism. It's really the teaching, the four truths, the noble truths that come out. Whereas in Christianity, it's all about who Jesus was and what he did. You really can't have a Christless Christianity. You can have a Buddha-less Buddhism, but you can't have a Christless Christianity because it is the God-man that reconciles both God and man.
Finally, then, with only 30 seconds, someone says, look, Jesus is just a great example of an enlightened person who, through that cycle of reincarnation, eventually was able to shed and shuffle off this mortal coil. How would you respond with 30 seconds?
I would say that he's so much more than merely an enlightened teacher, someone who gave wise counsel and things like that. Christianity affirms the existence of God, and not just the existence of God, but God entering into the human sphere. God, as C.S. Lewis said, Earth is the visited planet, and so these are very different perspectives, and we can't treat Jesus the way the Buddhists treat Buddha. Buddha may be non-essential. Christ is absolutely essential to our faith.
Ken Samples is Vice President of Philosophical and Theological Apologetics for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's author of the book, A World of Difference, Putting Christian Truth Claims to the Worldview Test. Thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Good being with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the Word Faith movement. Bob Leko will be our guest. Now, Word Faith, teachers who name it and claim it, and they tell you that if you name it, you can claim it as well, that it's a matter of simply making that positive confession, releasing God's power into the world, and by your faith, that force faith of perhaps even a spark of divinity, you can have everything that God has promised, prosperity, wealth, health, everything you ever wanted. We're going to be talking with Bob Leko about the Word Faith movement, championed by the likes of Fred Price and Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. We'll talk about some of those men and their teachings tomorrow on Issues Etc. Buddha can show you how. If you want to get on that Ferris wheel of karmic debt, if you really want to get on it and go round and round and round eternally, hoping to some time in the distant future get off, Buddha can show you how. Jesus Christ has done it for you. And there is no karmic wheel going round and round. There is a life that is, well, linear. It has a beginning, it has an end, and in Jesus Christ, it has a resurrection. Jesus was incarnate in this world, the second person of the Trinity, through the womb of the Virgin Mary, and lived a life as a substitute for all mankind fallen in their sinfulness. And as a substitute, he suffered, and as a substitute, he died, and as a substitute, he rose again, never to die again. And if we have forgiveness in life by his death and his suffering, then what will his resurrection give us but life from the dead? Buddha can show you how Jesus has done it for you. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow, and thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.